From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On podcast.
Welcome back, folks. There's a lot to talk about with this little announcement. This is a special episode for you. We weren't able to get anything done Friday night just because of scheduling, that kind of thing, but you know, in the light of day on Saturday morning when we're recording this, no details on this trade with Marcus Peters yet. But we wanted to give you some reaction and give you what you're looking for. I don't know if we're going to be able to talk you down off of ledges or not, but we're going to see what comes out of it. First of all, let's start with the scenario. We talked all week last week about, you know, you have to get good value for him because he's such an elite cornerback. But now some of the things that have come to light, both from some of our sources as well as some things in the public like Bill Moss, you know, Chris, how does that leave you feeling about where Marcus Peters was and how he was fitting into this organization?
He wasn't. Plain and simple, he wasn't fitting into this organization. And, you know, I've seen multiple different people say that it's the organization's job to make players like that fit. Well, guess what? There are some people you just can't reach.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but anybody that Andy Reid can't reach, that's a severe issue for me.
I can only say what you want about his history, right?
Well, yeah. And you can only, I mean, you can say whatever you want about his coaching style, but he has always allowed his players significant leeway to be themselves and to have their own personalities.
Yeah.
And there's no way he gets traded if Andy Reid is okay with his personality.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. To push Andy Reid that far reminds me of another elite talent that he had for a little while that wore out his welcome as well. And Terrell Owens will probably make the Hall of Fame at some point, and I'm not saying Marcus Peters will. But what's come to light that we didn't discuss last week was – all of this internal turmoil that seems to have been going on. You know, we probably overlooked the fact that he got suspended by the team and his only reaction in public was LOL. That might have been a sign that we all missed. You know, this laissez-faire kind of attitude about how he works within the structure of a team. And it comes back to that thing that you heard in Pop Warner. No eye in team. Well, there are. There are eyes in every locker room. There are guys that have bigger personalities, have bigger, I don't want to say ego, but persona about them, mostly because they're elite athletes. But at some point – go ahead.
All I'm going to say is I get where you're going with this, but I will say Travis Kelce has a persona that is larger than life in a lot of ways, but he's never going to put himself above – he's never going to put his team in a bad situation like this where he doesn't respect his coaches and respect the ownership.
And I think that's honestly what it comes down to. You know, we heard people have been hearing about this since the suspension during the season, about his interactions. We knew about how heated he gets with Bob Sutton, doesn't like Bob Sutton, doesn't like playing in that scheme. I think I'm sure he feels like he's being underutilized in terms of his style of play. That's one thing. That's heat of the moment on the sidelines. You know, there's a certain amount of leeway you can get there because everybody's in the thick of it right at the moment. But when you start talking about how you deal with your head coach, how you deal with your GMs, how you deal with your owner.
How do you deal with your other coaches? I mean, there's reports that he got in a verbal altercation after the Jets game with one of his other coaches. And if I've heard correctly, it was Dave Tobe, who's not even really one of his coaches. No, Marcus Peters has never played.
And he's in a position that ought to be respected, whether you play for him on his particular units or not.
I forgot he was assistant head coach. My apologies on that. I thought he was just the special teams coach. So you're right.
I think what it all comes down to is all that, as well as what we've heard from a private conversation with Clark Hunt that didn't get a lot of press. They didn't want to talk about it at the time, but according to some folks that have inside information on it, that was pretty heated and disrespectful as well. And then finally, I think it all comes down to this. The guy's an elite talent. he's played well to this point in his career, and whether it was the political stuff, whether it was this outlandish behavior, whether it was disrespect for leadership of this team, you get the feeling that no matter what, there's a rumor he asked to be traded. I don't know if I stand up with that. I haven't seen it by a lot of different sources, just a couple. But one way or the other, you got the feeling that he didn't want to be here long term. He wasn't going to re-sign. So that changes everything that we talked about last week. We were under the impression that this had been worked out, that a long-term stay and extension to Kansas City was an option. Without that off the table, that changes everything we talked about last week and makes it you got to get as much value as you can for him when you can.
Well, and for me, the other side of that is he was told, or he told the team last week, and this is from one of my sources, that he wasn't going to sign long-term with him. If he's not signing long-term with him, okay, yeah, you have him for 2 more years under contract with a fifth-year option. Great, you have him for 2 years, $10 million. But if he decides he doesn't want to play here, he doesn't have to play. He doesn't have to play well. He can do whatever he wants. And that's not a situation you want to be in when you're trying to compete for a championship. Now, maybe you can say that the competitive fire in him will come out and he won't just slack off. But with this guy, I don't know. If he doesn't want to be here, it's such a different thought process than you're used to seeing in these athletes. I mean, yeah, there are times where they don't like their teams that they're on. I get that. That happens. But this seems much further than that.
Yeah, and I took that stance. You know, when we were talking offline, and folks, we know you want to know about the compensation. We all do, because that kind of tells you where everything's at, and whether this team was desperate to move on. It sounds like there was only one serious suitor for a trade, which is never a good thing for the team giving up the player. So we may not find that they got a lot of value out of this, which is frustrating. And my original take was, you know, if that's the case, if you're not going to get value for what he's worth, then stick it out and keep him. You have him under control for this season, last of his original contract, next season under the option, and the year after that under the franchise tag. And if you've had a player that is going to put in, what is that? That's going to be 6 years, the prime 6 years of his career, and you have to let him go at that point and only get a compensatory pick. I said that if you can't get value now, then that's an acceptable scenario. What you just brought up is significant, because Marcus Peters is unique in that, yes, at this level, these athletes that get to the NFL, you think that they have the fire, that they don't want to go out there and lay an egg on tape. And maybe you're right. Maybe this is such a thing that Marcus Peters' emotions get the best of him most of the time. And if he just doesn't want to be there, he could just play poorly and tank his value, and you'll never get anything out of him.
Well, I know people don't like this argument, but I'll make it anyway. In some ways, he already kind of tanked his value last year by showing that he wasn't going to play against the run. I mean, he simply gave up when the ball was run at him. He didn't take a chance to go get a tackle. Now, that's not necessarily completely tanking your value, but it's showing that he's willing to change his play style if it's not fitting what he wants to do.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. You know, maybe he realized he was not going to want to re-sign early last season and decided, I'm not going to put myself or my body or the future of my career on the line for this squad. And that's unfortunate, because there's really only two ways that you as a franchise can get value for a player, and that's as they're doing now in a trade, or if you force him to play through the option and the franchise tag and the level of play is there, then you have a value in either way that you go.
But you're right. Let me take this.
Then it's not worth the risk in not trying to move on from him now.
But let me ask you this question, and this is something that Therese Paylor said on his podcast yesterday. Isn't it in theory possible that he basically came out? I mean, if he came out and said, I want to be traded, which we've heard a couple of different people tell us, or that he wasn't going to sign long term, the next logical conclusion in that regard is, okay, well, he's not going to show up for training camp. You don't show up for training camp. You don't show up for the regular season. You're not going to get full value of him even if he is playing.
And then that's absolutely true. I don't think that can happen. I don't think a guy playing on a rookie contract can give up training camp fines, let alone game checks. I think there's too much pride in what he does and getting paid for what he does, that would happen. But just like we were talking about performance wise, that's kind of an assumption. That's a trend. I don't know if Marcus Peters is going to lie inside that trend or not.
Right. I mean, and I get what you're saying, 'cause he hasn't made enough money to be able to, deal with that type of financial loss. And I completely get what you're saying on that, but it's all about will. If he's willing to do it, you know, I just don't know what to think about this guy anymore. Everything I've heard over the past day is that situation was untenable in Kansas City. And, you know, you said something earlier that I haven't even discussed yet that completely baffles me. We have a kid that is, and I'll call him a kid, at 25 years old, is one of the top three, if not top two, at his position in the NFL, is on a rookie deal, for the next 2 years, because everybody knows the fifth-year option's getting picked up. Mm-hmm. And you only have one team that's willing to trade for him.
Well, and that's what it comes back to for me. We heard from several people, including Therese, that the locker room's kind of split on this from the players that he spoke to. I know Matt Derrick had a couple of players he talked with. It seems like the locker room split. And all due respect to Justin Houston, with Eric Berry out last year, Marcus Peters and Justin Houston were the two best players on that defense. And if there's any kind of split in that locker room at all, that's a sign that not everybody's digging what he's laying out. You know what I mean? And I think the worst thing that is most telling about this is the man who drafted him and the man who went to his home to speak with his family in Oakland before they drafted him, both decided to pass.
Yep.
And that's Dorsey and Chris Ballard.
Yep. Yeah, both of those guys, it sounds like they were lukewarm in interest. And if you're lukewarm in interest, it's okay, yeah, we would take him if you're going to give him away. But both of those guys not being interested says a lot to me about his value. Because honestly, I really want to say I'm befuddled by the way this whole situation has played out. Never thought they were going to trade Marcus Peters. It just doesn't make sense for them to trade Marcus Peters. But the more you hear about the situation and the more you hear about how he acted and the disrespect he had for his coaches and ownership, I don't know if you guys haven't gone back and listened to Bill Moss on 610, you should. He was on 610 on Friday about 3:50. You can go find it on a podcast. He talks about the way that Marcus Peters was and his situation and how he dealt with things. And, you know, he talked about it. They specifically asked him, okay, well, you know, you've played with a lot of players. You've been around a lot of players. Has anybody been like this for Kansas City? And he said, you know, Derek Thomas had issues. He didn't practice well. He never practiced very hard. He could get away with that. He, you know, was late for meetings and whatnot. Coaches would let him get away with that kind of stuff. But Derek Thomas was never disrespectful. They also brought up Dale Carter. Dale Carter was never disrespectful. He would be fiery. He would be emotional. But he wasn't disrespectful to his coaches. And to me, if you lose that aspect of this game, you're going to lose the whole entire locker room. You can't let a guy like that be so outspoken that he's going to override what your coaches say or go against what your coaches say.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. And in light of all these things that we've heard about his behavior inside the locker room and inside the organization, it's turned my opinion around from last week when I was adamant that if you don't get multiple number one picks for this guy, then there's no way you trade him. But when it's untenable as it stands, that changes the dynamic. And so at this point, it falls to what can you get for him? And like we talked about last week, we thought it needed to be multiple number ones because as elite as a quarterback is, corners are just as elite when you're at the level of Marcus Peters because top five corners can stop top five quarterbacks. That's just the way it goes.
And his ability to read defenses is what made him so valuable to the Chiefs and other teams. So I really think that, you know, you look at this trade for Kendall Fuller, I really think that what you're looking at is a Marcus Peters light type situation with him. And I say that with a little bit of hesitation. And I mean that just in the sense that everything we've heard about Kendall Fuller is he is just like Marcus Peters when it comes to film study. He is all about learning as much as he possibly can and diving in, and the depth of knowledge is fantastic. And, you know, maybe that trade was made knowing that this trade was coming.
Yeah, it may definitely have been. It doesn't sound like this was last minute. And it sounds like this has been going on since midseason, according to guys like Pat Kerwin, who know people within the organization. And definitely for the last few weeks, it's been reported they were working on this. So that's definitely within that time frame. And I will say, I thought Fuller could play outside coming out of college. In fact, I'll probably do a draft board review here in the next month or two before the draft of where the guys were from that year. Because I thought he was a first-round talent, but I had him in the second round because of the injury. I think Therese even hinted that he got the impression from the Chiefs that they felt he could play outside. So this may not be, hey, let's load up outside and put Fuller in the slot. That still may be Steven Nelson's domain for right now. But what remains to be seen is that compensation. And I'm out on vacation this week, folks. So we're trying to do some of these shows early, and we'll have as much information for you as it goes along. But compensation-wise, they're originally asking for Robert Quinn, has been reported, a pass rusher, a good player. That was denied, supposedly. I wonder if the delay in announcing or letting any of this out is due to another player being involved that maybe they can't get a hold of or something like that to notify. But the compensation,
or they could be extending another player. They could be getting another player, and they're working on an extension right now.
Could be.
I mean, they've been working on this for a month, it sounds like. So to me, for it to come to where it was agreed to yesterday, it tells me that something happened yesterday. One of the teams changed their mind on where they were going to be. But I want to address one other thing that I've seen multiple people say. And I kind of said this earlier, but I can't stress this enough. If you have a player that this isn't on the Chiefs organization, in my opinion. I don't think I can say that this is a failure on Andy's part or a failure on Clark's part or a failure on anybody in the organization's part. You know, obviously we'll find out more in the coming months, but there are just some guys you cannot reach. And calling this a failure on Andy Reid because he wasn't able to reach a player of Marcus Peters' caliber, and that you ought to break the bank or you ought to do whatever you can to get this guy to be okay. You can't do that. You can't sacrifice everything else on your team to have a star player.
Yeah. One position, this is a team sport. I completely agree with you. But I want to leave you guys with some upside here because there is a bright part of it. They're going to get draft picks. It's been reported that it's a bunch of them. The Rams don't have a second round pick in 2018. Supposedly there's reports back and forth whether it's going to include the number one that they have this year or not. I think in terms of value, that's what he's worth. They have the number 23 overall, I believe. He's worth that. But because there's only one team involved, supposedly, that are making serious offers that were in this negotiation, if that doesn't happen, it makes sense because you didn't have anybody you could bid up. You know, obviously, it's a player problem, a problem player that you're trying to move on from. So I would not be surprised, although, if it's several players or several picks within this draft farther down, they have thirds and fourths and fifths, I believe, and maybe a number one next year or a number two next year. As well as a player. So the combination is going to be kind of all over the place. It sounds like it's mixed nuts. Bill Moss seems to think the fans are going to be happy. Bill might be a little over optimistic, depending on his point of view from the franchise and all, but I don't know. But they're going to get something, and they're going to be able to go to this draft And cornerbacks become a higher priority. I'll be reviewing corners next 2 weeks, a little bit more after the draft. Keep your eye on Quentin Meeks. He's starting to get some attention. He's another film hound coach's son guy from Stanford. So keep an eye on him. What do you think it does to the overall complexion of what they do in free agency?
Well, I think Terrence Paylor also pointed out yesterday on his podcast that he had said before, and I disagreed with him in my personal opinion anyway, that Kansas City is really building for a run in 2019, and this is a rebuilding year. You make a trade like this, I think that grows a lot more. I think this is a trade saying that we know we're not going to compete this year, because whether the situation is untenable or not, it's hard to say that this trade is going to make the Chiefs better, at least in the short term.
No, I think this is plugging a hole in the ship, as far as I can tell. Yeah. After everything we've heard, folks, this is trying to stop the leak and get yourself right. And I think it's going to take draft picks. I don't know if they're going to be going after people in free agency. I'd like to see him go after Fuller or Butler or even Tremaine Johnson. Who knows? But
there is a bright spot for the Chiefs in the fact that if you look at how they played last season without Marcus Peters, the defense played against Derek Carr and they played a very good game. And that was with corners that couldn't seemingly get anything done the rest of the season. So, we'll see how that continues. I'm baffled that they don't have compensation announced yet, that hasn't leaked somewhere. That still surprises me at this point, because you would think that it would have gotten out somehow, some way.
Yeah, I would have thought so too, but when it does, we'll let you guys know and we'll definitely have a reaction to it.
And we got a whole bunch of guests that are going to be talking about this for the coming week that we're hoping to record very soon and have more inside information as to what went on in Kansas City and why this trade took place.
Yeah, we're working on all of our contacts. I'm sure we're going to talk with Seth. So, if you guys just want a nice little emotional breakdown, it should be pretty good. But we will have actual sources for you too. Some folks that we're talking to from around the league. So keep it here. This was just an emergency raw reaction. Thank you guys for listening. We'll have more through the week. We're going to record some things ahead of time, so just be aware of that, and we'll try to update any news as well. But the world is not on fire. This is a step back to take a couple steps forward. So keep your chins up, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.